Hello, welcome to season two of Praiseworthy with Mary and Eddie. We are excited to start off this season. It's been quite a while. I think our last episode was June. Yeah. I think it was June or the end of June. So it's been a while, but we wanted to take the summer off. Me and Eddie tend to, well, we do have a lot of things that we both like to work on. And we have something we are working on together. And so we actually have been really, really busy. And so we're happy to finally make time to start with a podcast again. It'll be good.
Yes, the endless summer has finally ended.
Yeah.
Kids are back in school. Well, they were, but
yeah,
here in Idaho, they're on break for 2 weeks. But we've been doing a lot of things and thinking about the next guest to have on our podcast and planning for the future. And so I think we're ready to start that and get right into the second season of this podcast.
Yeah, we're excited. So we decided to open up season two ourselves because of what October means to a lot of people. So the month of October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. There's a specific day, actually, October 15th. But I think a lot of people are just, you know,
conscious of it during this month.
Yeah, thank you. I was trying to think of the word. And so a lot of our listeners and, you know, just really, I guess, anyone who we might meet, know about our history with miscarriages and ectopic pregnancies. And so we really felt like it would be good to share our story with that, considering what this month is to so many, what it means to so many, and share the tools that we use and have used to help us get through those hard times with our miscarriages. And hopefully someone who's listening, maybe who might have just suffered from a miscarriage, or you might know someone who has suffered, we're hoping that this can really help all of you, just to know that you're not alone. And
although we're not experts, we're definitely here to, you know, talk about our experiences with it, and hopefully that can help somebody else out.
Yep. So these are heavy topics, obviously, but we feel like, yeah, we're just supposed to share it. So, and we have, in past episodes, we have briefly talked about our miscarriages. In one of our early episodes, we did tell the story about our ectopic pregnancy. So if you're not familiar with that part of our story, if you just go to our episode list and look for, I forget the title of it, but it'll say ectopic pregnancies in the title. Excuse me. Then, I would encourage you to go listen to those if you're interested. With that said, so we briefly will just sum up that real quick. So, we suffered 3 ectopic pregnancies in about a year and a half. That was back in 2006. And then, let's see, the last one was 2007, I guess, the end of it. It was like a year and a half, I think, of the 3. And so ectopic pregnancies are when the baby is fertilized and starts to grow outside of the uterus. Those are very dangerous. They can be deadly because that's not where a baby's supposed to grow. And so,
and for Mary, it was deadly. It was life threatening.
I'm still
is
here.
What I meant to say. She is still here. She's not a ghost.
I'm not talking. A ghost.
But yeah, I mean, it was life threatening, and that's something interesting that she and I sort of share is being on both the caregiver and the patient side of life-threatening situations. And so we both kind of have those perspectives for one another. And, you know, I know just how hard it is to be a caregiver when those ectopics first hit and she was in the emergency room that we had to rush her to, and I wasn't sure what was going on. They told me she was losing a lot of blood and they were having trouble getting the bleeding to slow down, and you know, it was really scary. And Mary had that same experience with me during my brain tumor episode, or
hydrocephalus.
Yeah, my hydrocephalus, because of my brain tumor. And so we've both been able to kind of share the heartache that comes from being a patient and a caregiver. With a caregiver, you feel really helpless, at least in my experience. That's how I felt, is not really being able to do much. And during the ectopics, I remember, you know, like during that first one, just wondering even what was going to happen to the baby. Like, it was our first pregnancy and it was something new. And I remember saying, are we going to be able to save the baby? And, you know, they told me that they weren't able to, and that, you know, just where it had fertilized, it was not able to be saved, and it had probably not survived up to that point anyways. With the miscarriages, which were the more recent ones, you know, those were
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to break it up, if that's okay. Yeah, I love what Eddie said. It is so true. We both have a perspective of being a patient and a caregiver. And I think that's a unique perspective to have, like, where we both have.
Yeah.
It's a unique situation that we've been able to experience both sides.
Yeah, during those first ones, we were pretty young. We were
like newly married. We were only married a year.
Yeah, 23, 22. And I was in college still. And so fortunately, like, I was able to spend a little more time at home in between my classes so that I could, you know, help her out and be with her while she was recovering. And
That first one was the most life-threatening because, yeah, I was losing so much blood, and I had, and I'll hurry, because I know we talked about this in the other episode, so I'll hurry, but I had kind of been having weird feelings when we first found out we were pregnant, and when I was rushed to the hospital, I want to say I was 8 weeks pregnant, but maybe not. I could have been seven or eight, yeah. And that's usually when, like, ectopics, if the pregnancy rupture, or wherever it's at, if it ruptures, that's usually when it happens, is around that time. But I was kind of having weird feelings. Like, one of the signs for ectopics are you have a constant pain on one side of your pelvis. So, like, it's either your right or your left. Sometimes they say you can feel pressure, like, in your bum. I don't know how else to say. Rectum? Okay. Rectal? And so I actually had been experiencing the pains on one side, which now, four babies later, I know that's normal too, because you can get
round. Nine babies
later. Yeah, that's true. Nine babies. I mean, but four births. I know that you can get round ligament pain, and so it's hard because that's similar to that feeling. But I guess the difference is this one was more constant. And I remember asking my sister, is that normal? And she was like, yeah, that can be normal. Just keep, you know, listen to your body. And then the day my fallopian tube ruptured, that's where the baby was. And what happens is the baby fertilizes there and then it's growing. So it is living. It's growing. And obviously the fallopian tubes are as thick as like a pencil. And so it obviously can only grow so much. And if it keeps getting bigger, then it obviously will rupture. So that's what happened to my fallopian tube. And that's why I was bleeding internally. And I had immense pain. I was passing out, fainting. and almost died. It was horrible. Yeah,
lots of internal bleeding. And
they couldn't stop. They were trying so hard to stop the bleeding that they could only remove the part the baby was in that had ruptured. And then they had to leave the rest of the tube in there just because I was bleeding so much. And so our next ectopic was actually in that leftover fallopian tube. The baby had fertilized in there. And they were monitoring me, but then that ruptured. It wasn't as severe as the first because they were monitoring me. And then the third one was actually in my ovary on my right side. Yeah. And that was starting to rupture when they saw it. So luckily, I was being monitored the last two pregnancies. And then the first one, I obviously wasn't. And that's why it was so dangerous.
Yeah.
But my OB, I remember saying, he was like, you are so lucky you got her here, because he like knew someone who had died from an ectopic pregnancy. So
yeah, that's similar to when Mary drugged me to the ER. I was at about probably the same point, you know, almost beyond being able to be helped. And so we're grateful that we both were able to get us to help in time.
Yeah.
And but going back to the
I was going to add something for the ectopic. Sure. So I feel like so once again, if you want to hear more of that story and just more detail, we did an episode all about that. But I would say, I feel like my advice for newly pregnant people, maybe people who have never been pregnant before, is to really, really trust your body. Like, I had been doing research on pregnancies when I found out I was pregnant for the very first time. That was the first ectopic one. And I read about ectopic pregnancies. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, I've never heard of this before. That's so sad and scary. And oh my gosh, what if I'm having that? Like, I kind of was having little feelings, like something was off maybe. And so but I'm so grateful that I trusted, that I had like learned about that before, because I think I was preparing myself in a way for the signs of what to look for. And also, you know, with the following two ectopic pregnancies, I was being monitored. But if you're newly pregnant, I would say a lot of doctors like to wait till you're like 10 weeks to check you. And I just feel like that's way too long. I think you should go in as soon as you find out you're pregnant, which is usually like when you miss your period, or like a week later. And usually they'll have you come in. Like, I was able to go in right at like 6 weeks whenever they knew they could see the baby.
Yeah.
So I would get in as soon as you can, just because that's, to me, that's the safe thing to do. And just trust your body. If you're feeling like something's off, to tell your OB as soon as possible, not to put it off.
Yeah. I definitely agree with her there. Like, I don't understand why, when something life-threatening can happen and they are able to see something at about 7 weeks, I don't know why they don't make that standard. But
yeah, I don't get it. And maybe not every doctor is like that. I could be wrong. But it seems like usually they're like, come in at 8 weeks, or come, and it's like, what?
Well, and I guess that also, like, what happened to you is pretty rare. I mean, even getting a single ectopic pregnancy isn't very common.
Well, yeah, let alone three in a row. Like, all of, whenever my doctors find out, I mean, obviously they do because they have to know your history, but they're like, you've had three in a row? Oh, and you've lost an ovary and a fallopian tube? Like, it's very, especially in ovarian pregnancy, that's really, really uncommon. And so it's one for the books. They should put me in the books. Maybe they have, actually. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe. But yeah, it was very surprising to my doctors. And yeah, but we're so grateful that I was safe and we were in good hands, especially for that first one. And even though it was very, very scary, it was taken care of.
Yeah. And I think kind of going back to, you know, focusing more around the loss aspect of it, of losing a child. I definitely remember after the third one, we had decided, okay, well, we're not going to try and get pregnant for a while. And I remember both of us were, you know, we felt very defeated. Like, we had tried three times and were really dealt, like, a forceful closed door in our faces with these attempts.
And we were thinking maybe we weren't going to have kids, or maybe adoption, or IVF. Well, which, if that's what we had to do, that would have been okay.
Yeah, and I don't know if you remember, but one of the first things we did is, like, maybe we should just look at getting a dog at first, which is funny because that's...
Oh, I can't remember that.
Very not in Mary's character, but we ended up going to the local humane shelter.
I remember!
And, like, I saw one of the dogs, I remember, and I kind of pointed at it with my foot, and it just went crazy and was, like, very angry. And then all the dogs in there just, like, were going crazy. And at that moment, I'm like, maybe a dog's not for us. And I'm kind of glad we didn't get a dog right then, because I just... Well, we ended up moving pretty soon after that to go to Texas and other things, but...
And got pregnant there.
And, yeah, we got pregnant.
A surprise pregnancy, and that was a normal. Yeah,
and that one wasn't planned for, actually.
Yeah.
I guess we just weren't being very careful.
It's but all...
With a body like yours, I don't know how you can be.
Oh, my gosh.
But in all seriousness, though, like, yeah, we were of the mindset that it was dangerous too, you know, like, literally the first one was life threatening. The following two could have been.
Oh, I needed a blood transfusion that first one. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
And so I just remember, like, even when we found out we were pregnant, I remember the amount of anxiety I felt about it because of what had happened the three previous times.
And it was hard, like, telling our families we were pregnant again for, you know, those three first pregnancies, like the first one, we were so excited. And I remember telling our parents in a really cute way, like Eddie's parents, we made a card and we pretended the card was from our baby.
Yeah.
And they were so excited. We were so excited. And then obviously we lost the baby, but yeah, it's a loss. It's horrible. It doesn't matter if I was 8 weeks pregnant, it's a baby. Like, there was a baby in me growing.
And I think a lot of that.
And we lost the baby. It's horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that is because when you find out you're pregnant with whatever, you know, kid it is, whether it's your first or your fifth or whatever, There's an amount of psychological preparedness that you take to get ready for that. And so I think that when a miscarriage happens, or an ectopic pregnancy, or some other form of loss, you know, like, all that energy that you built up does make it harder. And that's what makes it really feel like a loss.
Yeah, it's horrible. But... Yeah, again, if you want to hear our ectopic stories, you can find it in our episode list. But, you know, going into now miscarriages, so we have suffered two late miscarriages. They define it as late when you're past the second trimester. And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what my doctors have told me. That's why they said late. But our first late miscarriage was 2017. So our Molly was only, when we found out we were pregnant, she was
less than two.
Was she a lot younger? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, she was one, but, and yeah, we were excited and just felt really good about it. And we had just had, you know, we had had four normal pregnancies before that. And we were thinking, okay, this is our fifth, and like, everything's probably going to be okay. Like, I still was considered high risk. And so I always tend to go in earlier, but, so I went in, and yeah, baby was good. And yeah, we were getting excited. And then when I hit 16 weeks, I went in for just my regular checkup, and my doctor couldn't find a heartbeat, and Dr. Han.
Yeah.
And she tried for probably a few minutes, and I could tell, I like knew that it wasn't good because baby was just, you know, there was no movement. And I just was so, I didn't even know how to feel. Like, I think I just was completely numb. And, just heartbroken. It was just horrible. It was like another loss all over. Because McKaylee had passed away.
Cancer.
A year and a half ago. Or a year and a half prior in 2015. And obviously, I mean, she was almost four. And that obviously, I mean, that loss was absolutely, it was horrible. But, you know, still, we were expecting another baby. And I'd been seeing baby in all of our appointments. And it was doing good. And it just was like, really? Like, another loss. Like, this is our, including McKaylee, it was our fifth loss. And it just, and with Eddie's cancer, like, still, that's always in the back of my head. You know, is this going to be the year when he grows back and he gets sick and passes? You know, like, it was just a lot to take in.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that we were even still having children after my diagnosis, you know, like, that's another layer of building ourselves up and knowing that we're taking a risk. Just bringing a child in with me, maybe not being there to see it, grow up.
That's true. Yeah, that was, and our families,
they were worried that we, when we got pregnant with Molly,
but obviously we've explained that in episodes that obviously, like, we know we were inspired and we, you know, we believe God knew that we needed her because McKaylee was going to pass away and we had her to look forward to.
Yeah.
Cause I was pregnant with her when McKaylee passed away.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the general theme of what we're trying to get in this episode is that, you know, a loss is a loss and there's different ways that you can experience losses and, we've definitely been through various degrees of intensity in the losses, but the, like, pain is with all of them, and, you know, it's something that you don't easily just, like,
forget about. Yeah, like, I still think about all our babies. I really do, and I'll like try and look for ultrasound pictures, just, you know.
Yeah,
it's just comforting for me. But that first late miscarriage, yeah, it was in 2017, and, yeah, my doctor couldn't find a heartbeat, and I was devastated and immediately called Eddie, and obviously I was crying, and we were just so sad, and then I actually went over to a friend's house, one of my dearest friends, and just broke down with her because she had been through a miscarriage, and that was comforting for me. But we actually had moved from Burbank during that, right before that time. I mean, it was, we had been out of there for probably a year, but we were in Santa Clarita, actually, which isn't far from Burbank. But, Santa Clarita is great. I made such great friends there. And I just remember, though, we had been in Santa Clarita for only, had we been there a year already? I can't remember.
No, we were only there for
been a few months. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was maybe just a few months. That's right. So it was kind of hard not being in Burbank where we had so much support around. And, you know, going through this loss, it was, but again, everyone in Santa Clarita was amazing and we love them. But it was just kind of a weird time. But so my mom actually came out and my sister, and they were great with the kids. I had two of my dearest friends come up and they actually were watching our kids while I went to have a D&E, or was a D&C. So there's two different ones. So the D&E is dilate and evacuate. which I just like, that's a horror. I hate that it's called that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. That's what it stands for. Anyway, they came to, be with the kids so that we could go to the hospital so that my mom could come too. And I was telling Eddie the other day, and as you guys know, my mom passed away this past January from cancer, and I just miss her so much, but I wish I could call her right now and talk about this experience. So when we were in the hospital and I was waiting to go in to have them get the baby, we were in the OR prep room, you and my mom. And me and my mom got the giggles so, so much. And I won't, like, talk about why, but we got the giggles so much. And it really, like, the whole situation, it was just like a bright, like, it was obviously we were all heartbroken, but I remember thinking, like, this is exactly what I needed. And my mom was someone I always would get the giggles with, and so it was just really funny. I wish I could call and ask, because we used to talk about it after that, like, do you remember when we were laughing so hard before your surgery? But and the recovery for that one actually wasn't that bad. I think it was like a week, but I remember feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm like feeling okay right now. Fast forward to 2018. So I actually had gotten pregnant the end of 2017, and then we lost the baby beginning of 2018. So for that baby, that was our second late miscarriage and the most severe, I feel. So of the two. So I was almost 19 weeks for that one. So again, like much further along, my belly was popping. I had pictures of me like rubbing, you know, like big belly. And we were a week away from finding out what we were going to have. Mm-hmm. And side note, they actually think it was a girl. Which I feel like it was too, but do you feel that?
Well, I mean, if it's a gramp, it most likely is. Yeah. Because that's generally what we have, so.
For that one, I had started spotting. The first miscarriage, I actually wasn't spotting.
I think you did a little bit.
Did I?
This one, I think, was a little more severe.
This one, yeah, I wasn't bleeding heavily, but I was spotting, and my doctor was, you know, really great, and she said that can be normal. Just, you know, continue to monitor it, and I remember it kept happening, but the first time I got in the bathroom and I saw that I was spotting, I completely lost it. I mean, I just broke down. And I remember going out, and we were living with Eddie's parents at the time because our home here was being built where we live now. And I remember going out of the bathroom and finding you and just like lost it and just told you, like, I don't remember my exact words, but it was basically like, I just had blood. And you were like, what? And I remember thinking like, it could be okay. And that's when I called my doctor, and she was, you know, they were like, just monitor it. You should be okay. And then it kept happening. And then I had in my regular appointment, I think I was going in for my regular one, like a regular checkup.
I think we were finding out the gender that day.
No, because we had to go somewhere else.
Oh, well, I went with you to that appointment, though. I remember that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Eddie was with me for that one, and Molly. And for that one, she was doing the regular ultrasound checkup and, you know, just with the heart monitor, and she couldn't hear the heartbeat. And I remember she kept saying, okay, maybe, you know, it's okay. The baby could be some, like, have moved. And so she was, like, kept on looking, and it was probably a couple minutes, and she was like, okay, you know, I'm having trouble finding the heartbeat. I'm going to send you over to get an ultrasound. And I remember looking at Eddie like, you've got to be kidding. I think I even said that. Like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Again?
Well, because again, it took a lot for us to even like build up the emotional preparedness to even try to get pregnant. And then like, we're always on pins and needles during a pregnancy because of the
history. Because of everything, yeah.
of it.
And even though, and again, even though we have, at that time, we had 4 natural, normal pregnancies, births.
Mm-hmm.
We had just had a miscarriage. So I feel like, and like he said, our history. So I feel like even though people may have lots of kids already and they have a miscarriage, like, it takes so much out of you. And we had just went through it the previous, or earlier, or I guess that last year. And yeah, like he said, we were just like, okay, this can't happen again. Like, maybe the timing was off. I remember thinking that. And so this pregnancy should be good. And I was actually pregnant at the same time as one of Eddie's sisters who would later find out she was having twins. But, for the first pregnancy, I was actually pregnant, or the first miscarriage, I was pregnant with another one of his sisters at the same time. And our due date was kind of the same. And, you know, again, so when we lost the baby, it was like a constant reminder of, you know, the loss we had. And sometimes the
landmarks we weren't experiencing that my sister was.
And then with the second one, it was the same thing. I got pregnant shortly after, maybe like a month after his other sister did. And it was so fun to know we were pregnant together. And then, we lost our baby. And, you know, while you're still so happy for someone who's pregnant at the same time, it's still, it's a constant reminder. Like, okay, this could be me. That could have been me at that time. But anyway, she sent us for an ultrasound. And so we were like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And I just was trying not to lose it because Molly was with us. And I feel like at that time, doctor's offices, like the staff knows, and they all kind of look at you funny, maybe, you know, just because they feel bad. And so it's like, I don't want to break down here, even though I'm sure they see it a lot and it would have been okay. And I actually think I did cry to our OB. I'm pretty sure he did. So we go to get the ultrasound, and the ultrasound tech was so, so kind. And she did the ultrasound, and like, you could tell, you know.
Yeah, she confirmed there was no
heartbeat. She said, there's no heartbeat. And the baby looked, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, like the baby looks so big, right? I remember thinking that. It looks so big. Like, it just looks like it's sleeping. Like, I remember thinking that. And we asked her if she could tell what it was, because we were about to find out anyway the next week. And she said, well, let me try and see for you guys. And I remember she said, okay, the little legs are crossed a little bit. I'm going to start crying. Sorry.
It's okay.
Anyway, but she said, I think it's a girl. I'm not completely sure, but I think it's a girl. And so, which I had been feeling. Anyway, but so we were like, oh, great, like, again, and we were just devastated. And see, it's only been, 2 years since that, and I'm so emotional still.
3.
Has it been 3?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I guess it'll be 3 years in February is when we found out. But still, you get so emotional about it because it's a loss. Like, it just stays with you, so.
Yeah, and for us, that's when we kind of felt like
we were done.
Our journey of building our family was complete. We made sure that that we can't get pregnant again. But.
Yeah, I think, so to go along with that, so then we had to go back to my OB, and luckily those offices were right by each other, but she was so sweet, and she said, okay, now here's your options. We could do a D&E. Actually, the first miscarriage was a D&C. I'm almost positive, I think. But for this one, because I was a lot further along, it was a D&E, which is when they dilate you and deliver the baby that way. So she said, if you want, we could put you into labor and have you deliver the baby, or we can do a D&E where you will be completely out of it. And I remember thinking at first, like, I don't know, like, maybe I do want to deliver the baby. And I remember asking her, do you know, like, what it will look like? Like, can we hold it? And because I was further along, but her thinking was, it's probably already just not, it just, I don't know, may not have been the best thing for us to do because it had passed away like a week before they, or 2 weeks before or something. And so, she...
It starts to decompose a little bit. And
yeah. So, I mean, but like the option was there to do it. And part of me, sometimes I regret that we didn't do that. I don't know why.
Because I think... I'm glad.
Yeah, I think it probably would have been too much heartbreak. But anyway, that was an option. And the other reason we could have done that is because I guess this risk was still with labor, but or delivery. But for, with a D&E, they still just like, if I had delivered it, delivered the baby, the placenta, actually, I guess they would have delivered the placenta too. But the D&E, the risk is, so she has to get the placenta as well. And sometimes when it tears from the wall, it can cause like hemorrhaging. You can bleed really bad. And so she said, that is a risk. If you choose to do the D&E, that is the risk. And I remember looking at you, because at first I was like, maybe I do want to deliver it. And I was like picturing it and like, it'd be sweet. We could get pictures of us holding the baby. And, but then I looked at you and you were like,
I left it up to you.
But no, you did. But I remember thinking, okay, I don't think it's right for
us.
Yeah,
I think emotionally for me, I don't know. It would have been hard for me. But I was willing to support you in whatever. And
well, and at that time, four births that I've had, I was thinking of the pain. And I know they would have done an episode. I'm sure they would have done that. But I think I was just like, to go through all of that, I don't know if I can do it. But again, there's women who do it when they know they've lost the baby, and I'm just like in awe of them. Like, I just love, I think that's amazing. And obviously sometimes they're much further along and they they have to deliver it. But this one we did have the option, and so we did choose to do the D&E. But the problem was they couldn't get me in to deliver for a couple days. And so I had to like be off my feet because there was a risk of going into labor, which would have been horrible. Well, I mean, yeah, because then we would have to have delivered it.
Well, and also you were bleeding and so.
Yeah, I wasn't bleeding heavily at all, but I had to be careful. And so those next 2 days were filled with prayers and we just wanted to get in there, the hospital. And I remember my mom was so great and just was praying and hoping that we could get right in. And then Eddie's parents were so great, and his sisters and all of my family, like our friend. I mean, we just luckily have always had so, so much support from so many, and we're just so grateful. I remember, and I'm going to cry again, going back to Eddie's, his parents' house and telling his dad, and he was just so sweet and just felt horrible for us. And I remember telling our kids, and they were so sad. It was like another loss for them. I mean, they've just...
Yeah, our families are very protective of us and don't want us to have to go through any more hard.
But like our kids have been through so much loss, like with McKaylee and our babies being lost and seeing Daddy sick. It was just like, are you kidding me? Like something else we need to break their hearts about. But and then I remember going to the bathroom later, and your mom had come. I was like, I will tell Danette, like I just want to see her, to talk to her. But I think your dad told her, obviously, which is okay. But I remember seeing her, and she just, like, lost it with me. Because she was like, what the heck? Yeah. We both were like, what the heck is going on? ugh, all these losses. But anyway, the next day, his parents came home with a beautiful surprise for us. And we have it hanging, but it's a painting of a woman. And explain it, because I'm going to start crying.
I don't think I'm going to do it very well, but basically there's just a lot of angels mm-hmm. flying towards...
They're just all, like, hovering
a woman.
They're, yeah. like... They're just all, like... Just... you. It's like they just love her so much that they're just, like, hovering over her and just, like...
Coming to comfort
her. Comforting her, yeah. And there's angels of, like, all different ages. And... his parents actually had bought us it, and I completely lost it when I saw it, but it's because that's exactly how I had been feeling and had felt for years overall, you know, through all the trials we've been through, that we're just always, I know that there's angels constantly around us. Like, it's just a feeling I've always had, experiences I've had that are very sacred to me. Like, I just know we have been watched over. And so when I saw that actually in a painting, I just was like, oh, like, that's exactly how I feel. Anyway, it was just beautiful of them. Eddie's parents are amazing. So anyway, good news came. We were able to get scheduled to go in to the hospital, and his parents were able to come with us. My mom couldn't come at that time. And now I know, looking back, I just think she was so sick. She would have been there in a heartbeat, but I think financially and just a bunch of things. But that was just a year before her cancer diagnosis, but I wonder if she had it at that time. I don't know. I just wonder. But anyway, so Eddie's parents were so great and came to the hospital with us. And, anyway, when I remember when I came out of surgery, I was upside down and they said, you've had a lot of bleeding. Again, it was because of the placenta, and my blood pressure was really, really low. So they had to tip me backwards to help.
Well, and what they had told me is that they were having a little bit of trouble getting you to wake up from the procedure. And I'm guessing that's because your blood pressure was so low.
Yeah.
But of course I'm like, I just lost a baby, you know, please help her
and yeah.
please protect her.
And I remember feeling kind of sick. I don't know, but they're like, okay, we're just going to keep you like this for a little bit. And I remember them, I think they brought me back up. I may have thrown up. I can't remember. I just remember feeling kind of gross. Which actually, after I have a baby, I usually have thrown up almost every time, except I don't think I did with Molly, but I just tend to get sick. So it was interesting that, like, I did have a baby. Like, you deliver the baby. And I was just asleep for it. But anyway. So the scary thing with that. And then they were trying to decide if I needed a blood transfusion. And they ended up keeping me in longer. Well, I had to stay in the hospital because my blood pressure kept being weird. They were worried about the bleeding. And I'm grateful they did keep me in there because, oh, they had to, actually. I mean, they had to, but it was kind of scary a little bit because I just, again, I was further along and it was a different procedure, a D&E, and my body just really reacted, I think, to it. So, excuse me. Anyway, I remember after going home, 2 days later? I can't remember. I think it was 2 days later. Or the next night.
I think it was the next
night. Maybe it was the next night.
I only slept there one night.
So. Okay. I was so pale. Like, I remember being able to shower at home, and then I went to lay on the couch, and I remember Eddie's mom came down, and and I was asleep, and afterwards she was like, you looked so pale. Like, I was so, this took so much from out of me. And I remember thinking, and now I'll like look back at videos of me when I was like Marco Poloing with people after that had happened. And you can tell, like, my face was so just drained. Like, I just looked drained and exhausted and really pale. Like, even with makeup on, I could tell when I look back at videos, but, and pictures. But everyone, we had such great support there. And like, I remember at our church, the young women made, one of them made a painting for us, of Christ holding a baby. And then I think McKaylee next to him with a pink balloon. I'm trying to remember. Anyway, it's beautiful. And I was so grateful for that. But I have to say, since that miscarriage, this last one, so 2018, my body, I think, really suffered. Like, it took me, well, so in that time, it was probably a good month. I had to just be off my feet, and really take it easy just because of it. But then even after that, actually, maybe she was like 2 months. I think she extended it. She was like, give yourself another couple weeks to just, you gotta like take it easy. But I still think my body was affected for the next year, like the weight not coming off, energy levels. Yeah, it's crazy the toll it takes on you. But the reason we're going into such detail with it is because this is life. Like, this is our story, and we're being vulnerable, and we know people experience this, and like, we just want you to know you're not alone. Like, we know the dirty details of a miscarriage and the emotional roller coaster, and that's why we're being so
and
vulnerable right now.
And maybe to people who are listening who maybe do right now know somebody going through this, or who maybe in the future you will experience this, and you're wondering, like, what could I do for somebody in this situation that's helpful? I would say that, and I may have said this in other podcasts, I don't know, but the best thing, I think, is to identify a need yourself and ask the person, if I did this for you, would that be okay? As opposed to asking them, what can I do to help? I think that can a lot of times add another thing for the person to worry about.
Yeah. And also, I think a lot of people will just naturally say, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
Because me and Eddie, ask anyone, if you know, we're people stubborn. Who we know. Yeah, like, we will be the first to say, we're good. Like, and honestly, a lot of times I think
We probably could, but
it's good to let people help you because they want to.
Yeah, and when people do it of their own, you know, when we didn't necessarily have to be involved with it and they just went out of their way to do something nice for us, yeah. I think it's meant a lot, and it really is helpful, and it's harder to be resistant to somebody who shows up with a meal already made.
Oh, yeah. Or they just show up and saying, I'm doing your laundry, and they go up to your laundry room.
Yeah.
Or, I'm here to brush your hair.
Let me take your kids to the park for the afternoon. Something like that. There's a lot of ways that you can help, and I think that being proactive and deciding, it looks like they're struggling with this, maybe I could help them with that, and then asking them, could I do this for you?
Yeah.
I think that is going to be more effective. It'll make it harder for them to say no, and it makes it easier for you to be involved in a meaningful way in somebody's hardship.
I love that. That's perfect. Yeah, I feel like too with, well, okay, so I'm not even going to add to that because that was perfect. But as far as like tools that we use, well, and I feel like I still use a little bit, but to get through those losses from our miscarriages and even the ectopics, For us, I think our number, I think we would both say our faith would be number one. So obviously we, have such strong testimonies of, our faith and what we believe in, and knowing that God is mindful of us and watching over you, and like just he's just mindful of you. He's not like, you're not alone in this, even though sometimes it feels like you're alone, knowing that God and our Savior are mindful of us and with us, and we can lean on them for help and just like understanding. For us, I think that just knowing that, like, and reminding yourself of it and saying your prayers, like for us, prayer is such a big part of our day. Praying in the morning, at night, during the day, like I'll always say prayers in my head. And I think just constantly trying to stay in touch with your spiritual side really has helped us to just know, like, okay, like you just keep moving forward, and it's okay to grieve and be sad and maybe frustrated, but like, don't hold on to those feelings because it gets you nowhere. Yeah. And we have kids and we can't do that. So like, if we want to cry, we let ourselves cry. If we want to like just be upset maybe for a little bit, you can let yourself be upset. But to remind yourself, like, you know, if we keep moving forward, then it'll be okay.
Yeah. And it's also provided us with opportunities to help other people. For instance, there was a woman in our church who, she found out that she had a brain tumor. And so we were able to, you know, tell her kind of our perspective on it and encourage her to take some steps. And, you know, we're grateful for those opportunities as well, that where not only do we receive, but we're able to help other people and give back.
And that's been such a big part of every trial we've been faced with is, we've been put in touch with so many people, or people have been put in touch with us. And just knowing that the things we've experienced, like we've been able to try and help others who might be experiencing something similar or even something different, has been a blessing for us. And I have to, and like, I feel like what Eddie just said about our friend who ended up getting a brain tumor, like, I think at any trial you go through, you can learn so much from and apply that to someone else's who maybe needs help in a trial. Like, it doesn't have to be the same trial.
Yeah.
I think with a lot of trials, a lot of times, you use the same tools. And like for me and Eddie, it's really interesting because that's one of the reasons I felt like doing this podcast was because of creating it, because we have been through so many different things with that. I don't know how normal that is for people to go through lots of different types of trials, but because we have been through lots of the miscarriages, ectopic pregnancies, losing a child, Eddie's cancer, moving a lot. I don't know. Those are probably the big ones. Like, I really think we have such this, like, a really unique perspective because we have been faced with a lot. I'm so grateful that we can, like, I don't know, help
reach out to people
who like are going through cancer or have lost a parent or have lost a child or have just had a miscarriage or have or an ectopic pregnancy. We've gone through those things, and so we're able to, it's really interesting. I think we have this really unique, again, we're not experts, we always say that we're not at all, we feel like we just want to give back and we want to help people get through their trials.
And my hope is that maybe you're not going through something difficult right now, but maybe by listening to this, you can figure out a way to help somebody else who is going through something difficult. Type of world that we live in today, like, there's not enough of that. And I think especially amid COVID and all that stuff, where we're being encouraged to not be social and to not connect with one another on a face-to-face basis for a good reason. But, I just hope that that aspect of helping our fellow man doesn't get lost in all of this.
Yeah, I love that. So let's find ways to serve others. Let's find ways to go out of our comfort zone. And, you know, even right now, if you're somewhere where you're being encouraged to not go in public a lot, you can still find ways to serve others by writing a letter to someone maybe who's going through a hard time, or sending an email, or ordering dinner for them, or sending flowers. Like, there's things you can still do, or pray. Like, if you are someone who prays, that is such a huge thing. Pray for that person.
And I can guarantee you there's somebody in your circle who could use something. Who's going through something that maybe they're not very vocal about, but you probably do know about it. And those are the things that we can help other people with.
Yep. So we did not mean it to go this long.
It's a regular podcast.
Sorry. But I feel like everyone who might be listening who has suffered loss, really not just miscarriages or infant loss, like any loss, just I know that our hearts are with you. You are not alone. You have a Heavenly Father who is so mindful of you and loves you, and a Savior who loves you. And that if you just take a moment and look around your life, that you will see His hand in your life, and that you will know that you are not alone, and that you are loved, and that you can get through this. And I hope this podcast episode has helped you to feel that. If you know someone who's going through something, please, if you feel like it's appropriate, have them listen to this, or if you want them to reach out to us, you can find our contact info on our website, www.be-praiseworthy.com. If you know me personally, send me a text, call me, and we would love to talk to them. I'd give them support. But do you want to add anything else at the end?
No, I think it's all pretty much well said. Thank you for listening today.
Yeah, thank you. We are excited to be back. And our next episode, we will hopefully have out in the next, 2 weeks. Like I said, we actually have something we've been working on for quite a while now. We've been very busy with it, but it's very exciting. And when that time comes, we will share it. But hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll have another episode. If you would like to be on our podcast, send us an email at bepraiseworthy@gmail.com, or again, or you can go on our website and send us a message through there, or if you know us personally, get a hold of us on our phones. But we'd love to have you come on and share your story and how you have gotten through hard times, and who in your life has been praiseworthy during that time. So we love you guys. Thanks so much for listening. And our hearts are with those who have experienced loss. Our hearts are with you this whole month and beyond. You're not alone.
Bye.